Hello, PHCC. Welcome to Season 1, Episode 18 of PHCC Rocks, a podcast highlighting some of the great things happening all over America related to the National Plumbing, Heating, Cooling Contractors Association. I'm your host, Joel Long, and again, we are coming to you from the worldwide headquarters, the international headquarters, Gastonia, North Carolina, of PHCC. And that's, people keep telling me that they're getting ready to impeach me so that that world headquarters will move, but we're holding it together right now. But, we're doing this podcast because we believe in telling the stories of our members and our chapters and events from all over the country. And that's what makes PHCC rock. And so today we are really delighted to have two wonderful leaders from the Bayou State of Louisiana. Did I say that right?
That works.
I'm picked on all over the country about how I mispronounce things. But today we've got Crystal Carter, who's the executive director, and Russell Robillard.
That's right.
What's the French pronunciation?
Robillard.
Okay, so that was pretty good. I butchered it earlier, and Russell's the president of PHCC in Louisiana. So, guys, welcome to both of you, and welcome to PHCC Rocks, and we're really, really glad to have you with us.
Thanks, Joel. Thank you. Yeah, we're really glad to be here, and glad to be here representing the PHCC in Louisiana.
Yeah, it's exciting. I've got some great memories of some good friends from down there that we'll talk about in a little bit. But, one of the things I love to do to start with, just tell us about yourselves. Tell us how, maybe some background information, and so people across the country know who you are and how you got into PHCC. You want to start, Crystal?
Sure. Thank you. Just to echo Russ's comment, we're very excited to be a part of this today and appreciate the invitation to do so. I work with an association management company. Yep. I've been the vice president for this company that I've been with for 15 years. And we started working with PHCC back in 2014. We're going into our eighth year. Math is not my strength here. And I've actually been the executive director for them for the last 2 years.
Okay.
We have grown a lot, and I know we're going to talk about some of that coming up, but that's how I just kind of happened into PHCC, and have been with them for this long.
Okay. A little bit background, give us just a little bit of your background, if you don't mind. Besides, leave out the axe murderer part. Okay.
Well, that's the more colorful part. No. I'm originally from South Louisiana. I have a degree from Centenary College up in North Louisiana, as well as a master's from LSU, and happened into association management as well. Started off in a marketing department for an insurance company. And as it turns out, everyone that I worked for had served as a president of this association, another association. And, they had a job opening. It intrigued me. I never knew this was a career, and I love it. So I've been in it for the last 15.
So a master's from LSU.
Yes, I have a master's in public administration.
Wow, you are overeducated for the people you deal with. That's amazing. That's no, right, Russ? I mean, isn't that right, Russ? I mean, good grief.
A bunch of plumbers.
Yeah, plumbers and air conditioning guys, yeah.
Do math in your head, Russ. I cannot.
There you go. The reason we really, I like to get those background pieces is we just hear so many different stories about the journeys of how people ended up where we are. And a lot of the differences make us stronger. And so it's been really interesting to hear some of that across the country as we've done this. That's great. Great info. All right, Russ, what about you?
Okay. So I was born and raised in Fleming. So my dad, started Reliable Plumbing in 1984. And I would say shortly after that, I would say probably by 90, he was pretty heavily involved with PHCC.
Okay.
My dad served as a treasurer of the PHCC for over a decade. And at some point, let's say probably about 8 years ago, eight, 9 years ago, he decided to turn the reins over to me. At this time he was still the owner of Reliable Plumbing, and he has since retired. My mom and dad have both retired. This August 1st will be 2 years they retired, and I took over Reliable Plumbing as a service company, and Permadrain is a product company where my dad and I have a few patents together making plumbing products. Okay. So on the Permadrain side, we have done state conventions. Permadrain has done a few of the national conventions dating back from the, I think the first one was the national convention was in New Orleans. Okay. And so, you know, I have, you know, since taking over both of those companies, since I've taken over Lyle Plumbing, I also became president of the PHCC, and I've worked my way up once I got on the board, then to treasurer, vice president. And yeah, so now I'm president. So I work really hard to get our company in a position so that I could take the time to be president. And things are going, you know, really well, we're growing. And I've really been having fun as my role, you know, as president. And we have been growing our organization, growing our trade show. I'm here from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, the capital region. You know, since my time with the PHCC, we have got the Baton Rouge chapter back active. We have some fairly successful local events here, you know, in the capital region. And yeah, so things are going good. You know, I started working with the convention committee with Crystal. And, you know, since we got that started, we have figured out ways to overcome COVID and various other things, you know, to keep our convention successful. So, yeah, we're really looking forward to, you know, the next few weeks and as we get things kicked off.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Crystal. So, do you have a lot of volunteers that are as heavily involved with Rosicles? My goodness. I mean, that was good to hear. A little bit excited.
We need to duplicate that enthusiasm. Yeah, I have to say that. Russ is definitely, you give him a task and he is on it. So yeah, we're really fortunate. We have really great leadership. We have a very passionate board. Mm-hmm. And that just continues to become a trend for us that we're hoping really sets the bar high.
Yeah. So second generation, Russ?
That's correct. We're actually going into third generation. My middle son, Caleb, just got his plumbing license in the past 6 months. And so he's the first third generation plumber in family.
No kidding. How old is he?
So he is 22 now.
Oh, wow.
His wife, Shaylee, actually works for the company now as the dispatcher.
No kidding.
My first cousin, Ray, there. My older brother, Ron, is a master plumber also with the company. And my first cousin, Robbie, works in the office. My sister, Rishla, works doing the accounting. So it's a big family business. We have quite a few people that are family, but, you know, we treat everybody as one. You know, we have our crawfish balls and have fun here in Louisiana, as everybody knows.
That sounds pretty incredible. If you don't mind me asking, how many people work with you?
Right now, we're right around 30 people.
Are you really? Okay.
That's everybody, including, you know, me, office staff, stuff like that.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Well, listen, thanks for all that background. I think that really helps people set the table for them to understand what we're going to talk about, okay, and the perspective on how you see things, because that's really, really important. So the other thing that goes on, I think, that's important is how PHCC has grown all over the country. And, you know, National is the oldest nationwide trade association in the country. And so I think, you know, understanding that, and then, you know, I like to tie that into some of the history of the states we're talking to. So, Crystal, can you give us, you know, some idea on, you know, PHCC Louisiana's history maybe, and then where you stand today with, you know, the number of members, locals, how you guys are set up, that kind of stuff?
Sure. We were actually just discussing the history of when the organization was formed, and Louisiana was definitely one of the chapters that we are, in essence, celebrating 100 years.
Oh, okay.
It has definitely had a long road, and as far as kind of, you know, where we're at today, we're definitely the largest that we've ever been. And a large part of that is our active apprenticeship programs, our program. But we have, our membership right now is right around 170 of plumbing companies. And that ranges from, or your contractors, that ranges from your small one-man shops to your much larger that are 100 plus employers or employees, and of all service, residential, commercial, it kind of runs the gamut. So with that diversified membership, we're really able to, our board is pretty representative of that as well. So we're really able to try to tap into what each of those categories really need. And that's one of our real big initiatives, is to try to make sure that we are representing all of our members. We do have three active local chapters. So Baton Rouge, which Russ has served on that board, as that has gotten reignited within the last few years. Our New Orleans chapter, I think everyone at National knows Keith Bienvenue. So
the history, when you were trying to find the history that was 100 years old, you got with Keith and he told you because he was there.
He was there. Okay. Absolutely. He has it all documented for us.
I'll be cutting that. I may be cutting that out. I may need to edit that out. Sorry, Keith.
I think Keith would appreciate that. I joke he's a walking encyclopedia of all things PHCC.
Yeah, he is.
So, and then we also have one active chapter in North Louisiana. So we are definitely working on trying to develop the chapters in the other areas, but definitely have the representation in the most concentrated areas.
You know, a lot of the states that are growing, like you guys, we see that the locals are gaining more traction. And then, you know, that's helping the states grow. And then that's how national, you know, grows, because, you know, the information and the success at each level ties together. You know, there's benefits from national, there's benefit from the state, and then the locals is where a lot of the connection ends up, with, you know, contractors helping each other. So yeah, the states that are really growing seem to have more of a local connection. So that's great. That's good to see. That was all your idea, right, Russell, to grow the locals?
Yeah, I would say all my idea. For sure, when we started, you know, Keith Bienvenue, he has really been instrumental in New Orleans and keeping that chapter live, you know, and active. Yeah. And so at some point, a few years ago, we realized, like, well, you know, where's the Baton Rouge chapter at in the capital region? And so I kind of asked the question, and, you know, Jimmy Lockwood is one of our, I guess, more active members on the board in the Baton Rouge area. So he and I, you know, kind of, you know, took that spark and ran with it. And we have grown the Baton Rouge chapter. So we have a fall event. We just had the second annual crawfish boil. And I'm not sure how many people, Christy, you think we'd have there, but I would say, I'm sorry, over 200.
Oh, wow. At a local.
Or at least 50, okay. Huh? Okay. Somewhere in that range.
Yeah, yes. In that range.
So we have really grown to be, you know, have a pretty successful Baton Rouge chapter. And one thing, you know, as Crystal stated, that I was going to touch on is really, as we've grown, how diversified that, you know, our board has become. Because I don't know that all facets of the plumbing industry, you know, have always been represented the way it is today.
Yeah.
I won't say that it hasn't come with any challenges, and we'll say healthy debates, because we've had quite a few healthy debates. But sometimes, you know, you need to work through those problems to do what's best for the whole group, you know.
Yeah. And so when you nice say when you say diversified women, or is it smart and dumb people, or is it?
You're going to be at the annual convention, so there is, you know, a female who will be getting something there who has been very dedicated to the group.
Oh, wow.
Okay. We do also have a female business owner,
okay,
who has been around. She's not active on the board right now. Yeah. But yes, I guess we are, you know, that diversified. And you know, and Carla, who serves on our board with the auxiliary, she, you know, and her husband are kind of in a position to be another, you know, female,
okay,
business owned company, you know, in the near future, whenever her dad's ready to step down.
Okay, great.
So
I know in our business, we've got several female service technicians now in our air conditioning business, and it's amazing how good they are with customers first, and they just see the world a little bit differently. So it's really helped all of our male technicians grow too. We've really tried to embrace it more and more, because it's making our entire team better. And I don't know. It's been interesting how trying to build that is. What you said earlier about having some good things and then you slow down and then it's like leaps and bounds. You're a couple steps forward and then all of a sudden it's going really well. But you got to stay at it. You got to stay at it. Yeah. Okay. So, at Connect last year, John Gordon spoke and his main focus was on positive leadership. And I just all year long we've really been focused on that because I think coming out of the pandemic and all the fun other stuff we have going on right now with supply chain, we just really have to stay focused. And so talk about you already have some, your positive leadership in your chapter, but maybe give us some specific things that you think are helping Louisiana, that other people may want to copy, because that's really how.
During my tenure, I'm going to play off of what you said. Positive leadership is something that I'm very, very big into. I think that one of the reasons that Crystal and I work so well together is, she has read some of the same books that I have. So we are, I guess you could say, somewhat on the same page. I kind of pride myself in, being a CE provider who teaches the leadership portion of our continuing education. I did take a break while, I'm president. But actually, one of the last leadership conferences or last leadership continuing educations that I provided the session for, I got one of my first standing ovations in the room. So it was really something that I mark as a milestone. And I'll say that I could not have accomplished that without Matthew Nguyen. So Matthew Nguyen is the provider now for our continuing education. He put together a leadership session and he came and administered it himself in person in New Orleans. And I really took some things away from that I have implemented not only at the company, but as well as, with the PHCC and which Crystal was a part of that. She was on the panel where they discuss what is the difference between management and leadership, and Crystal falls into the management category. And I've even used that session with that standing ovation in some of my future pitches. I use that as an example. While I was standing up there giving this, leadership speech, without, AMS being there to manage all the people coming in and out and the forms and everything, I could not have been successful without somebody that was there to help me manage things. I was able to stand there and lead the room, lead the group and give my pitch. But none of it would have been possible without the great management that AMS helps us provide. So just learning how to appreciate those different qualities, and I use this as a challenge. We, not that long ago at our company had, two people who were struggling to appreciate each other's qualities. And I sat them both down and just explained the differences that they have between themselves and challenged them to appreciate the other person's qualities. And right now they get along so well. And it just makes such a difference whenever you can learn to understand people, learn to appreciate what people have to offer. It just makes everything go much better. So we try to resonate that in the company. I try to resonate that with PHCC, and it makes a big difference. One of my biggest pitches to talking about happiness and positive leadership is that happiness to me has never meant more in the workplace than it does today. So the biggest challenge I give to people is to try to evolve, try to be open to change. The world is not the same place that it was, in 1950. So just,
are you picking on me, Russell? Are you saying something about me? I'm just kidding.
In 1950, people were waiting in line to take your job if you could not fill your role. So people would put happiness aside to put a paycheck and the food on the table for their family. Well, It's much, much different today. You better treat your employees right, because if you don't, there's another employer right around the corner who's ready to treat them right, who has it figured out, who is evolving with the time. And that's one of the biggest, things that I really try to pitch. We have a pretty good culture at our company because of it. And and honestly don't have some of the same problems. It's reaching a point where I'm trying to figure out what to tell other business owners that aren't ready to hear that evolve with the times, because I actually have more technicians than we have trucks available right now. We're in a build trucks phase, so we can accommodate everyone right now. And
Say that. I heard that wrong. Say that again.
Right now at Renovable Plumbing, I have more technicians working for me than we have trucks that are available. So I actually have a technician who's working as a helper until we can get the next truck built out.
Well, that only happens with positive leadership and building culture. That's a positive culture for your people. That's incredible.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Really is. I need to apologize to Crystal for not letting you go first, because you don't want to follow all that, do you? You don't want to, you know, I don't want to follow that. I tell you that. So real quick. Wow. Crystal, your job's pretty easy with that kind of, with that kind of leadership dedication. You see, a lot of times we hear across the country, well, you know, what's the executive director doing? Or we can't get the executive director to do this. Or we, you know, blah, blah, blah. But it's really about helping you lead in a positive way from the boards and from the presidents and the leadership, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we always say in the management, you know, if we can do everything if you want us to, but this is not our arena. You know, contracting is your arena, and no one knows it the way that our leaders do. No one knows it the way that our members do. And that's what's really great about our current leadership and who we know is coming in into that pipeline, is that we've really built, to use your word, the culture. We've really built a culture of, we want to move this association forward and how we represent the industry. So yes, if I could have all of the energy and all of the time that some of our board members are able to give for everyone, I would definitely, I just sit back and twiddle my thumbs probably. But no, it is absolutely critical to have them engaged and to have that, that camaraderie within, to speak to the positivity. As Russ said, you know, we've had some healthy debates, and we've had, you have different personalities who are coming to the table, and there's going to be differences of opinions. But at the end of the day, I think everyone is there for the same reason, and being able to have a voice and respect others' voices, that says a lot about an association and the leadership of that association.
Well, we're going to use, Russell, this is really not a podcast. This is a recruiting video. This is a recruiting video for future national involvement. You have really stepped in it, Russell.
But anyway. We didn't know what we were signing up for, Crystal.
Yeah, this is a false flag operation, Russell. You're in deep trouble. But listen, okay, that's great. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Just to touch on one thing, since Crystal, at times, will definitely not be the one to try to take the credit.
Yeah.
But I'd say with our involvement and everything, and I'd like to get her input on it, she has been very, very busy, because with the activity has come active committees and different things. And have you been as busy as you have been in the past year or so since your career with us, Crystal? Just curiosity.
You have a lot of things in the wheelhouse right now. Yep.
I would not ask that question of the PHCC national staff, Russell. I would not ask that. Good question.
She keeps it all in. She really does, and helps us keep everything organized. We definitely could not do it without Crystal and AMS helping us out.
You know, it's interesting. You know, you get into these things, and you know, we've not talked before this podcast. And one of the things I'm hearing, though, too, is teams and organizations like you guys can accomplish anything if nobody cares who gets the credit. And, you know, that's really coming out loud and clear. Is that, and that's what you're into too, isn't it, Crystal, with your group?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. You can accomplish anything together if nobody really cares who gets the credit. So yeah, that's coming out. And I think that's one of the most positive things I'm hearing across the country from a leadership standpoint too. We really do have that all over the country. You know, Keith Bienvenue, for example. I mean, you know, Keith could care less about getting any credit. He just wants everybody to win. It's my experience. And so he's a great leader because of that. You know. So, okay, let's switch gear. Anything else? I'm sorry. Anything else?
Yeah, you want to add? I could touch on Keith a little bit. He's definitely very dedicated. I mean, he is, I guess it's a tight race because we have a couple of very active people, but he's on any committee that we ever wanted to be on. You know, we just had a committee meeting this past week that he's chairing. Yeah. And so he's really dedicated to our organization, and we definitely, you know, appreciate that. One thing I did want to mention, the playoff of the who gets credit is that really helps. We have a few board members that are very active, and often at times they would get things set up and moving in the right direction, and they would prefer to step back and just see everything happen. Yeah. And not worry about who gets the credit, you know. You know, one of the bigger events that we have grown to do here, and I'm not sure if you've seen this other parts of the country, so this is a challenge to everybody, you know, in the country. Wherever there's a touch a truck, okay, everybody should be involved with touch a truck. We got involved with touch a truck here in Louisiana, in the Capital Region, would say about 5 years ago, Crystal. Mm-hmm. And we started off with just a little bitty space, and now the plumbing zone is the highlight of that event. They advertise the PHCC and they advertise the plumbing zone in their commercials, and it was amazing to see the crowd
that came out. So for people that may not know what that is, give us a 1 minute snapshot of what that is.
1 minute snapshot. So Touch Truck is an event for kids of all ages where they have all types of equipment, excavators, concrete trucks, police trucks, fire trucks, helicopters, dump trucks, you name it. They have heavy equipment out there that the kids can come sit on, blow the horns, and free food. Okay. You name it, game set up, whatnot. This past year, we kind of went over the top. We did a fenced-in area with a track code that had a hydraulic pump, and went and bought exercise balls, and we were throwing the balls out of the area so the kids could get them and throw them back in. And we're even going to do one better next year, is we're going to try to have two of them and almost make it like some kind of soccer arena to where it's like a competition between track codes. So as the balls go in the goal, then they're going to go out to the crowd and they're going to throw them back into us. And we really, really have a blast with that.
They don't have enough insurance. But you're normalizing kids understanding the plumbing industry and how cool it is, and you're doing it right alongside of the firemen and the police and all this stuff, so that it becomes an integral part of their thinking, and you're introducing them at a young age.
That's exactly what we're doing. We're trying to touch the kids when they're young, if they're in middle school, high school, you know, the earlier we can touch them, you know. And a lot of these people that are putting forth this dedication are probably not even going to be in the industry when some of these kids are going to hopefully become plumbers.
Yeah, I got you.
And, but they're still out there putting in the time and effort and the volunteers that we have to help with that effort. And we've realized that's a key. We need to grow our workforce.
Yep.
At least in Louisiana, we feel like.
Except you've got too many people already, but that's fine. Okay, so let's do something. That's great. Okay, let's shift gears a minute to some more important questions. Tell us something about you that nobody knows that you want to share. What do you do after work, or something quirky or funny or whatever? It's Crystal, we're going to let you go first. Russell won't let you talk.
Go ahead.
You know, I was thinking about this, and I'm pretty open. I don't really know what secrets we may have, but I'm a puzzle freak. I love a puzzle.
Oh, a puzzle freak. Okay.
Yes. My son and I will do them, and my husband calls us the puzzle punks because we we got to take it over. So like table we're in the puzzles? Middle of doing one right now with nasty weather. So
like
that's what
table puzzles, like you put them out on the table and put the pieces together. Okay. There's a psychosis there. That's good. You know, we used to do a ton of those growing up, and you know, we still in my grandmother's house, we used to do that. And you know, it was amazing. I think she did it to keep us occupied for a little bit so she could go, you know, get away from us or something when she was keeping us after school and stuff. But yeah, we used to do a lot of that. So that's a family time.
It is.
It's a family time. Yeah. Okay. How old are you? You said with your children?
Yes, my son's about to be 15, and they're actually my stepchildren, but they're mine, 15, and our daughter is 11, okay, going on 30. So
yeah, I understand. Yeah. Well, keep them doing puzzles. That's right. And yeah. Yes. Okay. Well, that's great. That's actually a lot of the things we end up talking about are all family, that people bring up, or family stuff like that. So yeah, the world's going so fast that, you know, it's interesting that kind of stuff comes up a lot. Okay, good. Russell?
I don't know if I'm going to top that. I did not know that about Crystal, and she probably knows this about me, but everyone else doesn't, or maybe doesn't know the degree. But my favorite hobby and pastime, without a doubt, would be shooting pool. My dad has always been a big pool shooter. He has a pool table at his house. I have a pool table at my house. I have three boys. All of them love to shoot pool.
Oh, wow.
I was actually just shooting pool with my youngest son yesterday, and he was telling me how much he enjoys shooting pool because every game is unique, you know, and it gives us something to do where it's real interaction, you know. I'm sure my kids like their game time, but they also can appreciate doing something in person. And it's something that's getting lost, you know, in today's society. So I'm really glad to have that time with them.
It's family time.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that fits. That makes a lot of sense in a lot of ways. I tell you, our worlds are so crazy too. Finding family time that different members of the family enjoy. It's getting harder. I know in our family it's the same. You know, it really is. All right. So another question: who is your favorite PHCC national president ever?
I think we're supposed to say Keith. No.
Well, aren't there, I think there's no.
Then it would look like I was playing favorites. So I won't say Keith. No, actually, I really enjoyed, and Joel, that's why I'm also looking forward to you coming.
Oh, here it comes. Here it comes. Dun,
dun, dun. No. Hunter Bacco.
Oh, God.
I know.
Okay. So I heard Keith Bienvenu. That's a great answer, Crystal. You can't say Hunter Botto. You can't say Hunter Botto. Are you kidding
me? You're going to edit that part out, right?
Okay, why?
He came down. He actually came to Louisiana twice last year. One was for the Touch a Truck event.
Yeah.
Baton Rouge Metro invited him, and he was able to come join for that. And then he also attended our convention last year. And I've talked with him at Connect and just different times we've exchanged some communications, and he's just so personable. And I think my husband may still owe him a gumbo recipe now that I'm thinking about it. So he was really great and really gracious. And it's just nice to have that whenever, you know, I just met him and I already felt like we were friends. Yeah, I know it sounds cheesy and corny.
Pick on him a lot, but I love him. He's seriously, with all, yeah, it's every, just, we spent a lot of time together over the last 3 or 4 years, especially. And yeah, he's just incredible guy. And I love him. And he's helped me tremendously this year and just getting ready, you know, with him being president last year and just everything he's done. So that's great to hear. Yeah. You were supposed to say Keith Bienvenu, but also Jim Finley. Wasn't Jim Finley from Louisiana?
He was. Okay,
so you've made two families mad now. Go ahead, Russ. What are you going to say?
Wow.
Lynn Finley is calling. You messed up. You blew it. Anyway, I tried to help you, but go ahead.
Well, I did not. I'm challenged now. I'm not going to say Crystal may have stolen one of my answers, you know, since you spit out a couple of names there. But I would have to say that, you know, Jim Finley has definitely been one of the more respected members of our state, you know, and we were really honored to have him here on our board, serving as the chair of the state plumbing board. Jim and I, while we had our differences, we had a pretty good relationship, and I was able to call on him, you know, he called on me. So I'm going to stick with Jim. I mean, I don't know that anybody has really put forth the effort and time that he has, I guess, unless we were to bring, you know, Keith into this, you know, since Keith and Jim, you know, are both fairly close, you know, throughout all of that.
I'm just glad you did. If you'd have said Hunter Botta, if both of you had said Hunter, I was going to hang up the Zoom call. But, you know, I'm glad you mentioned Jim. You know, getting started at the national level when I was the zone director and some other things, Jim and Lynn were two of the people that went out of their way to make you feel comfortable. You know, you show up at these national things and there's, you know, maybe there's 30 or 40 people in this, 50 people in this boardroom, and you know two people, and you're uncomfortable because they all know everything you think. You know, you kind of look at them, all these guys, and Jim and Lynn both. And I think part of it's that Southern, you know, their Southern personality maybe. But they were just so warm, and, you know, and then I love Jim, but he would, I don't think he knew my name, okay? So he would, every time he saw me, he would go, North Carolina, what you doing? And I think it's because he didn't know my name, and I loved it. And Lynn would come over, hey, Joel, how are you? And, you know, she was so nice and everything, but I don't think he knew my name. It was great. But, and I didn't care because he was so, what you said, Russell, he was so helpful in trying to make you feel comfortable and you know, and welcome and those kind of things. And they would do anything to help you. So he's just great people. Good stuff. Okay. All right. And the last thing on this, if you could go back 20 years to yourself, 20 or your 20 year old self, what advice would you give? That's only a couple years, right, Crystal?
Oh, I always say adulting is not as much fun as you think it's going to be. So I would probably tell myself just to slow down a little bit and just enjoy being young.
Enjoy the ride because it goes by fast too. Yeah, I like that. That's great. Yeah, that's good advice. Russell?
I would say if I had to go back 20 years, I would probably tell myself to learn more about people skills and leadership at a younger age than I did. I really got into reading about leadership, reading some of the books that Crystal and I shared. I guess when I was around 35 or so, I feel like if I'd have done that a decade sooner, then I might be further along than I am today. I'm still proud of where I am, but that was the one thing that I wish I'd probably learned sooner. You know, it's helped me the most.
Well, that's great advice too, because we do. We all see that way too. And then things now that are easier and you look back and things that you made difficult that if you'd have handled a little bit differently or maybe been a little bit more patient at the right time and pushed a little bit more on other things, that's always been my struggle. I'll look back and go, wow, I was pushy on the wrong thing. You know, and that's a hard thing. I'm not sure age may be the only, inexperience may be the only way to, but that's great advice. Okay. So it connect, I'm going to switch gears back a little bit back on the association stuff. You know, a lot of people believe in the association is so strong because when the states win, and I believe when the states are winning first, then national wins. And it's not the other way around. And so, you know, we really are focused this year, and Hunter was focused, and Dave Frame next year, and the staff, and, you know, and the board is really focused on making sure that we help the states win. So the more and more we talk about the programs you see that are working for you, you know, that are national programs, what do you think's worked for you or maybe – something that you see is, you know, helping you that we can share? Crickets. What program from national? What program? Okay. See, you got to translate what I say. I mean, questions I ask. I just ramble. But yeah, what program with national that you guys are working on that you think, you know what, this has helped us?
I know with a lot of, our apprenticeship program, we're one of the largest states with you guys with the e-learning.
Yeah.
And I think the curriculum that is provided there, and there's you also have your fast track, which while I'll say Louisiana, we don't benefit from the fast track with the way that our laws and regulations are written. Yeah. However, I see as sitting on the apprenticeship council in different ways, I see anytime you guys are able as the National Association to provide those resources of education.
Yeah. Okay.
That goes a long way, whether it is continuing what some of your current employees may already know, but just continuing that education and knowledge, or if it is really getting into the workforce development side of it.
Okay. So the formalizing of those programs really helps you get started with, especially absolutely, maybe smaller contractors. I see that a lot where smaller contractors don't know where to get started. And so having that path that's already written and already laid out, especially coming through COVID with the e-learning. Okay. You agree, Russell, or is she crazy?
A little bit of both, maybe.
Careful how you answer that.
So, I guess it's not a program, but it's my biggest takeaway. and I maybe have a little bit different appreciation for what you're able to get out of trade shows, you know, with the product company, because we travel to national trade shows all over the country. And so I guess I've just recently, because I'm president, really started getting back into the national shows. I was just kind of in a different role, you know, before I, you know, took the company over. But outside, if I were to look back at the past few years, outside of the takeaways I got from Matthew Wynn and his leadership session, my biggest takeaway was honestly at the convention, at the national convention last year. I was limited on my time because Caleb, my middle son, was getting married on like the last day of the show. So I literally had to drive up to Kansas City, go there, stay there. I never, it's funny too, because I only had time to attend one session and I really had a hard time picking it out. And you know how they say like intelligence attracts. Well, it just so happens the one I picked out, and I can't remember the lady's name from Tampa Bay. But one of my former employees works for the lady that gave the seminar.
Oh, no kidding.
That I took away. And she and her company had gone through similar transitions that we've been going through, you know, with software and how to evolve from, a lot of people don't understand how to separate call taking and dispatch. And just the way she broke it down, it just made perfect sense. Like I literally, whenever I got through that session, I went outside and called Brittany, who helps me organize, you know, the people within our companies. And I implemented some of the things that I learned from that session, and it has made a really difference. It's made a real difference in our company. And so it's nice to see that, actually, to go there, that event, learn something that we applied, and to see it actually work. You know, anytime we can do that, it's great.
Actually, Russell, that's incredible, because you know, a lot of times we think we have to go to the, all of it to get some, but really you go to these things, if you get one or two successful things to implement or look at, or pieces of your business that you can improve, it's amazing how it can clear your mind and help you. That's nice. That's really good. Okay. So speaking of the conventions, you guys in Baton Rouge have something coming up in a couple of weeks, your convention. And, you know, I've loved this year being able to travel all over the country to see these, and everything's a little bit different. You know, it's amazing how similar they are, but then also everyone does something special. So what are you trying to accomplish, and what are you excited about with your convention coming up?
You want to go first, Chris, or me?
Who wants to go first?
Go ahead, Russ.
Okay. I am really excited about this convention. One, you know, it is in Baton Rouge this year because I'm the president. We try to do that on the inaugural years, but didn't work out for me with COVID and shifting things around. It's really, I feel like, going to be a great event. And, you know, we have been messing with the schedule the last few years and have it to where now we have a social event that you're going to see that'll have all the associate members, as well as, you know, most of the people that are integral to making the organization work. And I'm excited that we have a unique continuing education experience at our trade show. We have breakout sessions. So at the normal continuing education, you just kind of get what you get. Yeah. When you come here, the attendees, they get to choose what they want to learn about.
Yeah.
They want to learn about gas pipe sizing or pipelining. We have got a lot of really good sessions. One way that we've overcome growing the convention is we've been getting more and more localized. So we have our state, you know, companies that are across the state that'll come participate every year. But now, you know, we begin this outreach to where, you know, next year might be a challenge. We're going to be in Monroe, but I believe that everything that we've learned over the last few years, you know, we bring in the state people we can, and then wherever that convention is that next year, I mean, we're reaching out to everybody we can that supports the industry in that region, because you're going to have people from the state, but every time your convention goes to a different area, most of the people are going to be from that region.
Sure.
So instead of just playing off the state supporters we have, we bring in that local support everywhere we go. And that's a big thing that's helped us, you know, get our convention successful.
And so do y'all, and I'm sorry for my ignorance, but you rotated around in two or three different locations.
More than that. I'll let Crystal speak to that since she coordinated that.
Yeah, we try to move around to the different parts of the state. You know, there's definitely other areas or some areas that are more successful than others.
Sure.
I always say if we're in the boot in the New Orleans and Baton Rouge area, you know, there's more concentrated population, but you're just going to have a better success.
Your outcome's better. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
But see, we have some states that do that, and they seem to overall have more member participation, you know, if you look at it over a 3 or 4 year period. And then we have some that stay in the same place every time, and, you know, and then that becomes a different problem. So yeah, that was good to hear. That's a good nugget to share. So what, you know, as the exec, what are you, Crystal, what are you focused on delivering to those members at this convention? What are your takeaways on that?
I think beyond making sure that we're offering quality and timely educational topics, like Russ said, this is an opportunity that we are able to offer breakout sessions so they can choose different topics. You know, if there's anything I think we learned from COVID is that we really like to see each other and to make that connection. And you can only do so much with on the phone. You can only do so much this way with this interface. Yeah. I much prefer I will see Joel in 3D rather than 2D. And that's always been my joke, is it's good to see you in 3D. So I think one of the biggest values of our convention is how much we have grown that trade show, where it allows our members and even upcoming business owners. So if you have your journeyman there, they're able to really start making those connections that you're just not going to make anywhere else in that type of environment. Okay. So the more that we can offer to our members and the more we can offer to our associate members to help build those relationships, that's one of the successes I always look forward to.
Okay. That's great. It's really just, it's the same as the national convention. You're trying to find a place for everybody to fit so they get what they want, what they need. And then, you know, we really focus a lot on individuals finding their place where they can grow the most for where they are currently, because everybody's in a different place in their business. You know, you talked about some of the younger guys or newer guys trying to decide how to develop their business. And then you got guys, you know, like Keith Bienvenu, who's been, you know, in the association so long, you got to keep him interested too. And so it's an interesting, I've always thought that's an interesting dynamic. You know, how do you balance all that? And so that's a lot to carry as the exec. Good luck, Crystal. That's a lot to do. But that's the challenge, and keeping it fresh is a challenge, you know. So that is great to hear. Anything else on the convention?
I never really thought about it or compared it before, but I guess that is what our convention has kind of mirrored, Crystal. If you think of the national, right? I go to national and I could choose to go to this session, learn about this thing, and this other session, learn about that thing. And basically what we've done is we have figured out a way to facilitate that at a state level for our plumbers through continuing education. So it's a similar experience that what a business owner is going to get at the national convention is a similar experience to what our plumbers and apprentices and everybody are going to get at our state convention, where they get to go in and pick what interests them. It makes it a much better experience.
Yeah, I think that's what we're all trying to accomplish. It's not easy. It sounds like it is, but it's definitely not. Okay. I guess the other thing is just this year, your experience should be a lot better because the president you have coming will be a lot better than Hunter. Let's make sure we get that out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm gonna say something to him about making sure he watches this podcast. But we've been on here about an hour and there's all kind of comments about whether how long these things should be, but I don't really care. If a lot of people say, 45 minutes, you know, but it's really about what you're talking about and who you're talking with. And I can't believe how this and almost an hour has gone by. It's crazy. But what are your maybe last thoughts in general? Maybe what are you most proud of that you're doing? I mean, I think we've already heard a lot of it, but you know what? Maybe Russell, you come in, you know, when is your term up as president?
At the next convention. So I basically got about a year left in it.
Oh, okay.
So I'm halfway through. And personally, I'd say what I'm the most proud of is really just trying to bring our group together, you know, to work together. Yeah. We have a lot of different views from different angles. And that has been a challenge that we have been struggling to overcome now for quite some time since we became, I guess, more diversified.
Yeah.
And so figuring out how to overcome that. We just recently went through a strategic planning session, and after this convention, I'm gonna try to get focused on, you know, what we can do to implement that. You know, we've recently updated our mission statement. We've been looking, or I've been looking, I'm assuming others have, Crystal probably has, I'm sure, looking at national to see, you know, how has national evolved their different things? And, you know, are we mirroring what national is doing, and what is the meaning? What's it mean to be part of the PHCC? And just really trying to get current and up to date. You know, we have to be willing to change to stay relevant as we move on. And that's one of the things we've been focusing on. And I think that's helped us be as successful as we are.
Well, that is, do you want to top that, Crystal?
I don't know if I can top it, but I will definitely add to it. I was going to refer to the strategic planning. It had been, I think we figured out it had been about 7 or 8 years since we had had a formal strategic planning retreat, and we brought in a facilitator to really help with that third party, you know, non-bias opinion, and to help really mediate. And I'm excited and very proud of the work that went into that retreat. All of the members, I think all of our board was there except two, because they had absolute, you know, conflicts and so forth. But everyone that was there was very involved, very engaged. And to see everyone come together and try to ultimately realign where we're going with the association, our mission was, so much has changed in that 7 years. It has been truly a journey over the last 7 years within our environment of Louisiana nationally and within the workforce. So seeing all of the work that went into it and where we're going to go with it, I'm very proud of the board. I'm very proud of the work that everyone put into that, and excited to see where it goes from here.
Yeah, congrats. I'll tell you, the engagement has got to be something too that, yeah, Russell, I got to say, positive leadership. And Crystal, you only been 2 years into this with this group. That's amazing. Just congrats on that. Obviously, you can see, just doing this with you guys, I can see the leadership just in the excitement. That's just congrats. You got to be excited about that and proud of that. And so it's a 2-year term, Russell?
Correct. 2-year term. Yep.
It's a good thing we don't have that at national, man. I'll tell you, there's if it, hey, so let's do one more thing if we could. Listening to you, you mentioned earlier books that you guys read, and I do. Books have just changed my life, and a lot of it is people that have given me book recommendations that help settle mentally what I'm not doing or doing, or giving me better direction. So I try to, every podcast we try to do some book recommendations, and I was going to share right now, I've got a book called Radical Wisdom by Reggie Campbell, and it's a daily devotional book, but it's such a personal book that it's really helped me. Every morning I look at this, if not every, but almost every morning I get this and read, and it really helps settle the day. And I think a lot of times I need that. I'll jump up in the morning and know that I've got 30 things to do before lunch. And if I don't do that, I start off kind of scattered, and that's really helped me do that. So sometimes those simple things really help me. Do you guys have any book recommendations or anything?
I do.
I thought you might.
I just want to sell, since the book, I'll tell everyone, the book that Crystal and I have shared is, it's called Emotional Intelligence by Daniel Goleman. And that's a book that Crystal and I have both read. And, you know, she and I really have communicated well for years before I realized it. And then I realized that she had a passion for some of the same things that I did. And the fact that we both read that same book, what I got a lot of takeaways from, I just found it really interesting. So okay. It was a very good book.
Emotional Intelligence by who again?
Daniel Goleman.
Daniel Goleman. Okay. That's yeah. And we could all use, yeah, I don't know. I'm stunned at how often I will read a book and it'll, like that probably, and it'll change how I view how I'm operating. You know, and that's, you know, and I think running our businesses, it's tough, Russell, you know, because we get our mindset, especially after you'd mentioned a couple times, being open to change. And often it's just how we see things. I know I'm that way. I will decide, well, this is the way it is. And then later I go, okay. And that's great, great book. Okay.
Let that perception evolve.
Yeah. Crystal.
One that always comes to mind, that it's been a few years since I read it, but it's called Running for My Life. It is, it's written by Don Yeager, and it's about Warrick Dunn. He is an NFL.
Oh, yeah.
He's from Baton Rouge. Russ, I know, knows the story. His mother was murdered when he was young.
She was a policeman. Wasn't she a policewoman?
She was. Yeah. Betty Smother. She was a policeman.
Yep.
So Don Yeager helped him write this book. And it is truly a story of going into the darkest places of your mind and how coming out of that and forgiveness. Yeah. And it's truly an emotional journey as you're reading through this book. So that one always is at the back of my mind when I think about those that have had the most impact on me.
Oh, that's beautiful. Okay. Yeah, his story is pretty amazing. I have not read that book, but just being on the sidelines a little bit, hearing, not on the physical sidelines, but just on the side of hearing some of his story and what he's done is amazing. Yeah, you need to read that book if it's about what he's accomplished. The NFL, that he's, what he accomplished in college and NFL is nothing compared to his real life.
No.
Yeah.
No. So, he's such a believer in giving back.
His impact. Exactly. Yeah, that's it. And that's, you know, that's what we all strive later when we get a little bit older. As to, you know, what impact did we really have on the people that matter, you know, to us. So, guys, any last thoughts? Anything else? Nope.
I'm pretty good. I feel like we covered a lot. So I really appreciate, you know, the time to be here with you on this podcast. This is my first podcast. So hopefully everybody enjoys it that watches it. And, you know, if you get a chance and you want to come to what I would call one of the better state conventions, you know, in the country. Then
That's awesome. That was a challenge.
Welcome to ours. I'd like to see what other states are out there doing.
If you want to come to the best convention in the country, come to Louisiana. That's what dates is it, Crystal?
Southern Hospitality at its finest.
It is July 22nd and 23rd.
Perfect. I will be there for a great part of it, and I can't wait. So, guys, listen, I just want to thank you and congrats on all the work. And it takes work. You know, these things don't just happen. It takes partnership and work. And just thanks so much for your leadership. And I know the people in Louisiana are in great hands beyond the guys, the people we get to, you know, touch base with, your zone director, Keith Bienvenue, for instance, who's just a great gentleman, a Southern gentleman, and love him. And so, guys, congrats. And listen, thanks to everybody for listening today to today's episode. And please spread the word about this podcast and reach out to us at podcast@phccrocks.com for any suggestions or if you have future podcasts. And, you know, really want to thank Crystal and Russell one more time for being our such good guest and for all the work they do and for helping us make this podcast possible. And PHCC Rocks is produced and brought to you by Amy Anderson with GSM Services and Charlotte Parham of PHCC National and edited by PHCC National. I'm your host, Joel Long. Thanks again for hanging out with us, and please keep coming back and give us more reasons why PHCC Rocks.